I was really sad because I hit my highest cash week ever. I wanted to tell people about it, but I instantly shut it down because
I'm really grateful for you. Like, a lot of people would have sisters that they can't unpack things like we can. I'm just so grateful that I have you to be able to do that with. Hey, sissy babe.
Hey, boo. If you've done breath work or yoga or anything similar, you know how obviously emotions stored in your body and how much it can come out.
This is why it's so important to unpack these emotions.
Us as people, and I know a lot of people relate to this, even when we achieve those things that we're like, I just want to fucking do them right now, there's going to be 101 more things that we want to achieve. It's also just remembering that it sounds so cliche, but it is so much about the journey rather than like getting to this destination.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Toby to Me. I'm Jess.
And I'm Meg, and we're two sisters that love to talk all things business, mindset, self-development, and everything in between.
Our weekly phone catch-ups, but hot girls don't gatekeep, so we've decided to bring our combos to you.
Hey, sissy babe.
Hey, boo. How's your week been?
It's been fucking epic, but there's been a bit on, team. I just got back from Bali on Monday morning, and fuck me dead. It was just, I cannot fault the trip. Like, it was perfect in every way, and I cannot fault my man. Like, I honestly would not change one thing about him. So, like, I just love that for me. But our trip was insane. Like, it was so good because we're both on the same page with, like, not being really big party animals. So we both had already, like, planned when we go over there to, like, just chill, relax, train, eat good food, etc. We had, like, probably 2 days of drinking. The first day we got there, we caught up with one of his best friends who just got married. So they were on their honeymoon over there. We did have a big day on the first day, or, like, the second, like, the day after we arrived, and Dylan was just, he's one of those really like fun, happy drunks. So it was actually like really fun. Like, we just had a really good day at Finn's beach club. But apart from that, we spent like the days, we'd get up early, go to the gym. We went for a run together one morning, and then I got a bit sick. So he was like running early in the morning because he was waking up super early. Then we'd go to, is it Body Factory? Yeah, Body Factory. We'd train, sauna, ice bath. There was like a cold ice bath and like a, there was like a very cold ice bath and then a 11 degree ice bath. So we'd do like that little routine. And then we'd chill there for a bit because they have a big pool and everything. It's such a vibe. And then we'd go to Brekkie and then go back to our divine villa, get, you know, ready for the day at like whatever beach club we were going to that day. And then we'd just relax at the club, lay in the sun, eat good food. We were kind of heading back to the villa most arvos at about 4-ish, and then we'd like freshen up for dinner, go out to a nice dinner, and then go home, watch a movie and go to bed and repeat the next day. It was like just perfect. Like, it was just so, so good. It was definitely the most tame Bali trip I've ever done, because obviously like I used to go, like I think the last time I went was with you, Meg and Nick. But even that trip, we were like, we went for New Year's and we were home watching the fireworks in bed out of the window. Do you remember that?
New Year's?
Yeah. Remember the New Year's that just before COVID hit?
No, bro. I was passed out at Finn's at 9 a.m. on the lawn.
No, that wasn't with me, because we watched the fireworks out the window of our hotel.
That was with Nick, though.
Nah. We were home in bed watching the fireworks out the window.
I am tripping.
Anyway, the point of the story is we've had some rogue times, you and I separately, in Bali.
Like, correct.
Very rogue.
Jess, if you're listening, I mean, my best friend Jess.
If you know, you know. Yeah, so I used to go every year with my girlfriends, and we'd just have like in my 20s, and we'd just have like a like wild time. So I've obviously changed a lot since then.
Yeah, like the thought of that.
The thought of that makes me ill. Yeah, and now I'm like, it was perfect. I cannot fault my man. Dylan is just the best thing since sliced bread. And I also, like, we're both, like, quite homebodies, love our routine and all of that. So I'm never, like, oh, I don't want to come home. Like, I'm always really excited to come home too. So, yeah, we had just the best time. This week's been crazy at work, just getting back into things, and I've been like shadowing the girls and doing a couple of late nights with that. I've got my masterclass on Monday, my next masterclass, which is on like banishing burnout and how to scale and have a like successful multi-six-figure biz without the burnout. Because that was something I was saying, actually, I don't know if I said it to you, Meg, but I was talking in my stories about it. This was the first holiday in a really long time, or that I can even remember, that I went on a holiday without having like desperate need for it and being super burnt out before going on the trip. And it was just so different. Like, it was so, so nice. And I just love that I've like, am able to now identify if I'm starting to feel overwhelmed when I make those changes like in my business and lifestyle accordingly, so it doesn't get to that burnout stage. So I'm teaching, talking to that on Monday. It's completely free if anyone, or well, by the time you guys listen to this, it'll have happened 2 weeks ago, so disregard. But it'll be available on my website for free after the fact anyway. And it doesn't just apply to beauty business owners. It applies to anyone, any business owner or not. So, yeah, I'm going to talk to the formula that I use and like the strategy that I use to ensure that I can run my business really successfully without getting to that burnout stage. And then apart from that, really exciting, Dylan and I are moving in together in 2 weeks. Yeah, so keen. So we've been approved a while ago. We're just waiting for that tenant to move out so that we can move in. And it's just in the building next to the one that I'm in now. So love that for us, because we love this spot. So he pretty much lives with me now anyway, so he'll just rent out his property and then we'll move in together. So
exciting times.
And that's about it for me. How was your week?
My week was so good. I just like was in my absolute work element. Like, I just was, I don't know, just really happy in my day-to-day things that I had on. There were quite a few little things that I like finalized, which was good to be able to like kind of tick them off in the biz. Like that spreadsheet that I literally had 74 different calls with this spreadsheet guy, because I kept coming up with different things that I wanted to add to it, and he was like, you are fucking so annoying. But also,
wait, what is this
spreadsheet? I think I spoke about it on a previous set, but it's a spreadsheet to literally track like all of the clients and stats with like different coaches, LTV, retention rate, like how many sales per month, how many cancellations, all like everything you can possibly think of.
Dirty to me.
Yeah. It's fucking cool. So did that. Also started this funnels program that Jess and I actually have both invested in. I started, it's a done for you but also done with you course. So they do it for you and set it all up, but then you also get the course to watch to be able to replicate it. And I was geeking out hard all week, like binge watching this course, because I was just frothing it so hard. I think I can't remember what I said to you when I texted you, something like,
I think fucking, you said that, like, I'm fucking geeking out.
Yeah, like it's so just, I'm just so excited. It's kind of unlocking this new
marketing tool.
Yes, and I'm really keen for that. And then I also have my new marketing manager has finalized all the EDM flows. We've like changed heaps of them, so I'm really excited to start tracking all of the stats for that and optimizing all of that side of our biz. Other than that, I went to a yin yoga class.
Oh, now you're talking my language.
Yeah, and I...
Not that you're not always, but...
No, but I love yin yoga. See, I don't. And she only invited me and she said it was breath work. I was like, fuck yeah, I'm in. It's this new place that opened at Burley.
She tricked you. I love it.
Well, she didn't know. Neither of us knew until we got there and it was a yin yoga.
Actually, to be fair, it's a lot about breath. Like using your breath anyway, so...
But it's not the type of breath work that I like to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, the part I hate about it is that it's, for anyone who doesn't know, like 5 minute long stretches. Like you hold every stretch for so fucking long. But what I wanted to share with you guys is what came up for me in the session. So it was an hour-long session, and actually I haven't even told Jess this yet. So there are three kind of like main things that came up. The first thing, and they actually lead really nicely, the last one leads really nicely into our episode topic today. But the first thing was she mentioned not judging yourself at the very start on how you feel. And that was really good for me because I always, whenever I go into yoga, I always go into it like, am I doing this right? Like this, I'm not sure. Do you know what I mean? Like there's just so much judgment whether you're doing it right or wrong. And I feel like that would transfer over into a lot of different things, not just yoga. So that was really good because it almost like just broke down that wall from the get-go for the whole rest of the class. In as soon as I got into a position that was really hard, I immediately was like, this is why I don't do yin yoga. This is why I hate this. This is why I don't come. And she mentioned something in that moment, coincidentally, about noticing how you react in uncomfortable situations, whether you are like flight or freeze or whatever it is. And it was like a light bulb moment for me because I was so much like flight. I was like, I want to get the fuck out of here and never do this again. And so that was a really, obviously, interesting because there would be other areas of my life where that would show up. And the third thing, which is like the most kind of like impactful thing, I guess, for me and what leads into this episode is about 3/4 of the way through, I had so much emotion come up. And if you know, if you've done breath work or yoga or anything similar, you know how obviously emotion is stored in your body and how much it can come out. And what came up for me was how much pressure I put on myself to succeed, as well as a lot of sadness for how much I don't celebrate my wins. And I was laying there very uncomfortable in this fucking position. And I was really sad because I literally had actually just the previous week hit my highest cash week ever. And I wanted to tell even you, or even, actually I did tell Nick because obviously he lives with me, but like I wanted to tell people about it, but I instantly shut it down because I was like comparing it to where I want to be and comparing it to people that I look up to who are like, you know, 10x what I'm doing. And so it was a good, obviously, reminder of those things to not compare myself and to celebrate my wins, but also for everyone listening, how important it is to spend that time alone and spend that time doing. And that's like why breath work particularly was such like a catalyst for my healing journey and like my self-development.
I just had so many like thoughts come up as you were talking, and you made me cry actually. Because first of all, I like low-key hate that we save shit for the pod, because like I'm fucking cut that you didn't tell me all of that sooner. First of all, like so proud of the high cash month, but like also as if you didn't fucking ring me and tell me that.
Yeah, I know. It was hard because I even actually, it was literally the week we were in Japan, in like I was snowboarding, living my best life, and I'd hit my highest cash week. And I was like, this is hectic.
I'm so proud.
And I wanted to talk about it, even the fact that I was like over there living my best life. But then I was like, obviously all those thoughts
like
came up.
People are going to judge me or whatever.
Yeah. And just like, it's always that thing of, well, I'm going to do better, so I'll wait until then to share it. I'm
going
to keep doing better. But yeah, like me, and you will fucking feel this in your loins, like 1 year, five, like however long, many years ago, to think to be here now and how the business is, not only the money, because it's like that's one part of it, but like how the business is running and having staff.
Oh my God,
and like,
yeah. We dreamt of this moment like in time, yeah, like years ago. And yeah, oh, I just love that you had that experience, and I'm just sad for you as well that you didn't feel like you could share that. But Fucking, that's epic. I also was thinking, like, that is absolutely why I love yin yoga. And like you said, breathwork's been like the biggest catalyst for your growth and self-development. Yin for me was that. So like when I was in the depths of like my suicidal anxiety and depression, that yin, and I started doing it more. Like, I've always loved that type of yoga, but I definitely started doing it way more once I read the book How to Do the Work, because she talks about the like doing it from the head down or the body up. So head down is like therapy, and then body up is like yin yoga, for example. And yeah, when you're in those poses for so long, and like if you just do that stretch for 20 seconds like most people do at the end of the gym session or whatever, it's like hard, and then you just stop as soon as it gets hard. But yeah, with yin, like you, I think the traditional yin, you hold the poses for 3 minutes and they get really fucking hard. And the person that I do a lot of her yins on YouTube, that it's called Boho Beautiful. If you, any of you want to try it, she's got some really great yin yogas. I actually type into YouTube Boho Beautiful Yin and pick one of those. And I pick one of the longer ones because I know she holds her stretches for longer and it's a lot more challenging. But she says very similar to what you said, your instructor said to you, Meg, that she does say, like, if you experience like a sharp pain in your knee, for example, like that's a sign that you're pushing like too far and it shouldn't feel like that, sort of come out of the stretch. But she says, first of all, she says frequently in the yin yogas, like, do not judge, like you said, do not judge what comes up for you or where you're at in your yin journey. Because, like, for example, Dylan did one with me like a few weeks ago, and obviously he's a lot more inflexible than me because he's never done one before. But like, I'll still, like, he just committed to it regardless, and I'll still judge myself for my flexibility in certain positions. But then she also says, like, stay with the emotion, because you, if you just pull out of the pose, it doesn't, you're not releasing the emotion and the energy out of your body. So like, there's many times, and I'll use excuses like, oh, I've got to go to work or whatever, to like speed up the yin. Like sometimes if I am on a time crunch and I still want to do one, I'll like speed it up on YouTube. But other times, like, I want to pull out of the pose and I'm like, no, it's actually not injuring me. It's just really fucking hard, and there's a lot of emotion coming up for me. And I'll get often a lot of like a frustration. So I'll feel like so frustrated, or I'll get like, I actually remember in the depths of my like suicidal, like depression phase, like maybe 3 years ago, I was doing a yin yoga one morning and I actually like broke down in the middle of it and called our parents and like was having a full breakdown, and they ended up both crying on the phone as well, because it brought up so much deep like emotion. But that's the whole point of this work, is that you actually need to stay in the pose and let it come out, because it is trapped and stored in your muscles and your hips and all of the rest, like you said, Meg. So I think a lot of people would go, oh my God, I don't like yin, it's really hard. But, and that's why I prefer it to normal like vinyasa or like flow kind of yoga, because you're not holding, like, yes, those yogas are hard in other ways from like a strength and balance perspective,
but yeah, it's not a workout.
But it's not
hard because it's a workout.
Yeah, it's yin's hard because it's like emotionally hard, and it is actually, obviously you feel amazing afterwards physically as well, because you stretched your whole body, but you also feel amazing because you've released so much negative energy. And yeah, it's really normal to feel like you want to break down, scream, cry, all of those kind of things when you're doing the yin. And I just, like, it's so powerful. I really, like, highly recommend it. And I was also thinking when you were talking, Meg, like, when you were talking about the ego, like, it's probably similar to when I come up with these excuses for why I should come out of the pose. And I just was reflecting on, like, my personality versus Dylan's, for example, and he's, like, very disciplined in, like, if he's doing something, he's fully committed to it regardless of like the challenge. And yeah, he would like happily sit with the pose no matter how uncomfortable it is, which I just find really interesting. So yeah, I think yin is so fucking powerful.
To be honest, I still have feelings of like, I'll just stick to my breath work. Because I'm like, I just don't like the fucking long stretches. I feel like they're doing me dirty, but
you can do them for anywhere from like 1 to 3 minutes. Like, there's definitely shorter yin yogas. Like, you don't have to hold it for three, but obviously the more discomfort, like within reason, like I guess the more resilience, but each to their
and
own.
And I feel like the main, I guess, thing that I wanted to bring it up on here was because it's important just to recognize when these things come up for you and acknowledge them and potentially unpack them, because a lot of people would do that, think it's fucking hard, and then just carry on with the rest of the day and not think about it again.
Not reflect on it as well, yeah. But also fucking proud of you for the highest cash month. That's a fucking, that's huge.
Yeah, but even now with you saying that, I'm like, it's going to be
you're like uncomfortable.
Yeah.
What are you grateful for?
I'm really grateful for actually meeting this new chick that opened this new studio for, it's called Breath House in Burleigh. And the co-owner, I haven't met the guy that owns it with her, but I did another breathwork class, but our producers have given us a time crunch for these fucking segments, so I'll tell you about it next time.
And but we could actually, because I want to do it on Sunday morning if we can book that in, because I'm coming up.
Yeah, I already have.
I look really pretty right now.
What are you grateful for?
Being pretty. I've just been thinking so much lately about how grateful I am for Dylan. I would not change one thing about him. And I'm just so grateful to have found the love that I've always literally dreamed of. And I know that I've only found that because of the work I've done on myself. So I'm grateful for that. And then I'm really grateful for you, because a lot of people would not have the relationship that we have, or like a sister to be able to, like a lot of people would have sisters that they can't unpack things like we can. So leading into the topic of the ep, which we'll get into shortly, I rang Meg the other day and was like feeling a bit down, and we like unpacked it together because I kind of wasn't sure where it was coming from. And I'm just so grateful that I have you to be able to do that with. Like, it's just really, I think we have a really unique, special relationship.
Yeah. Back at you. Yeah. Love you so much.
Love you.
New segment.
I was thinking with the gratitudes, but we meant to pause and be like, let's get into our gratitude.
Yeah, probably. We probably are, you know.
Bear with us, guys.
Before we get into the topic, if we could just ask one favor, we can see that there's so many of you that listen weekly but aren't following yet, and this is the number one thing that will help us grow. So if you're enjoying this episode so far, can you please, please, please click follow or subscribe wherever you are listening.
Hey, yeah, la, la, la.
There's no singing segments.
There could be. Oh, that's another thing that just reminded me. You know those TikToks that you see, and it's like me when I'm with my husband, like, yeah, la, 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 la. And the husband's like, okay, there's an exit there. We've got to pay this. Yeah. There's a guy over there doing this, like, and they're full, like, all over it. And the wife's just like, la, 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 la. That is fully me with Dylan. And it was, like, so prevalent on our holiday. And it's just really nice because, obviously, I'm, like, all systems go during the day with work, and my mind is, like, doing a million different things, like, with business and just, obviously, all of the things. So it's really nice to, like, be able to go, la, 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 sometimes.
My Dylan is Shioni. Sorry, Nick.
I love that.
Tell us more about the convo that we had, because that leads into the app. Or do we need to, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that how we do it? I feel like at school.
But yeah, fully. We're like trying a new podcast strategy, guys. So just let us go. I rang Meg on, was it Tuesday? Monday? Whatever
Doesn't
day.
Matter.
And I was feeling really down, and I was like, I'm not getting my period. Like, this is sus. What's going on? I was feeling a bit down about like all the things I want to be doing in business and life, but that I feel like I can't do them all right now, or I'm not able to get them all done with the capacity that I have as just one person, right? Obviously, I've got a great team and all of the things, but there's so many things that I want to be doing in business and also in life. And I was really feeling down about just where I'm at with some of the things. And so I rang Meg, like, it was a bit of a ramble to get to the, to like unpack it. And we kind of got there in the end and had a really great combo digging into how I was feeling. And yeah, Meg, do you want to share kind of what you said to me?
Yeah, so I actually had a very similar experience, like, of late.
Of course you fucking did, because we're the same person.
Because we're Siamese sisters.
Brain twins.
Yeah. Where I really had to check myself because, and this is what I asked Jess, I said, are you putting pressure on yourself to be achieving these things in a specific, like, time frame? Like, is there a time pressure that you're putting on yourself? Because I, like I said, had been feeling that way and kind of had to like check myself on it. I think both of us and any high achievers, it's like what I was saying about the yin yoga thing, like, and not celebrating the wins and always feeling like you're just focusing on the next thing. And so I was like, is it possibly that you're putting this time pressure on yourself? And you were like, yeah, that's like definitely a part of it.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think I said something about, like, I don't know, giving yourself permission to not need to fucking do it all right now. And also, we're both right now in a phase of, like, laying a lot of foundations to be able to boost a lot of things. So, like, I guess in business, you go through these phases where you'll kind of lay the foundations, boost, lay the foundations, boost, and you kind of keep doing that. So it's tricky when you're in this foundational period to, because you don't have that instant gratification. You're not seeing the, you're not reaping the rewards. You're not, whatever the saying is about something to do with the fruits of your labor. So you do have to be patient and kind of remember the.
And I think there's always something that you can easily find to like shame yourself about why you're not where you want to be. And I think for me, there was like this capacity piece where I was shaming myself on like, oh, it's my fault. I've not done X, Y, Z, or not my fault even, but like there's this reason that I'm negatively, like I'm assigning like negative connotations to that is the reason for me not being where I want to be with whatever the things were. And I find it really interesting too, because I do these like tons of discovery calls and have like all the mentorship calls. And I always get from these people that I'm speaking to, clients or discovery, like potential clients, and they'll say like, I've been following you for ages and you're so amazing and you do all these things and you're so where I want to be and la la la. And it's like, so it's almost like it's so nice to be validated like that, but it also makes you sometimes on the flip side go, oh well, actually no, I'm not where I want to be. Like, how are you saying that? Like, I obviously don't verbalize that to them, but in my head I can start to go, yeah, I've done these things, but like you said, Meg, not celebrating the wins, I'm like, no, but I want to be here. And that kind of starts to give you that imposter syndrome, because you're like, well, you are praising me for being here, but actually I want to be here. And then you, like, it's very much an ego thing, and like it's actually really arrogant to be like able to almost not celebrate your wins, I feel, in one from one perspective.
Yeah, there's a piece of that, and there's a piece of like obviously our childhood and where that perfectionism and drive to constantly be succeeding comes from.
Yeah, but yeah, I was absolutely sitting in that emotion of shame, which obviously people listening to this are going to be like, that's fucking ridiculous, but that's just what, that's what was coming up for me, and that's how I was feeling. And I was feeling so down about all of these, for all of these reasons about why I wasn't like at this level that I expect to be at. And like Meg, we were talking about on the call, like shame is the lowest vibration. So it's really, what did you want to say about shame?
It's just so important to remember that when you are in that shame frequency, nothing good comes of it. Like, it's literally physically impossible to be...
Well, because it is, like, an energetic frequency, like, the lowest, you actually can't attract any abundance and any of those higher frequency things into your life when you're vibrating at that low frequency. You'll only attract those low frequency
things to happen. Yeah, so it just is going to keep you stuck.
I also just want to add, like, this is why it's so important to, like, have people in your life or even, like, a journal to unpack these emotions, because if I just, like, went on my merry way with that emotion, like, I wouldn't have processed it, and I'd still be sitting in that shame and still be vibrating at that really, really low frequency. So I think it's also so important to have someone that you can unpack this with, whether it's, like, a friend, family member, therapist, or even just journal about it, because, yeah, I was obviously processed within an hour or whatever, and I was able to move forward rather than just sit in that emotion and wallow in my shame.
And also having people that aren't going to keep you stuck in it from a place of they benefit from you being in that state. So, like, I could have very easily said to Jess, like, just agreed with everything she was saying and made her feel like it was normal to feel that way, and, like, which obviously there's a piece of that. There's a piece of validating how she's feeling. But then also it's, like, being able to, yeah, pull each other out of it.
Yeah, and, like, look at it, like, critically think about it. And actually something I have noticed with some people lately is that, and I actually shared a quote about it recently because it's, like, something that's come up for me recently, is that it is so easy for friends and family to, like, connect with you when you're vulnerable and feeling low, and certain friends and whatever. But because it's easy for them to, it almost makes people feel better about themselves, I feel.
Yeah.
And so... I've actually identified, like, a few people in my life like this, where there's a bit of resistance to, like, supporting me as much when I'm succeeding, which I found really, really interesting, because I honestly thought I'd kind of removed those kind of people from my life. So, yeah, that was something that's come up for me recently too.
The reason we wanted to do a episode on this is to really remind you guys that you are on your own timeline, and it's really easy to look at particularly social media, because that's, like, the most, I guess, impactful,
most prevalent, like, platform to see all of the things.
Yeah. And I'm really apprehensive of saying, like, that it's just a highlight reel, because yes, it is a highlight reel for most. But also, I've been speaking a lot lately about how life can just really be this fucking good. And I'm actually trying to break down that for myself to be able to actually share all my wins without feeling guilty for people that are going to make it mean something about themselves, and, like, the whole tall poppy syndrome situation. But it is exactly that. It's what are you making other people's successes or even failures, like what you were talking about, mean about you and where you're at and what you're doing. Because, like, what you were just saying then, like, if someone is going to keep you in your shame because it makes them feel better, as well as, like, seeing someone win or seeing someone achieving something and, like, you making that mean that you're not where you should be, or you're not moving fast enough, or you're not good enough, or you're not worthy of those things. So, like, I think the overarching thing we wanted to speak to is about, like, not making anything other people are doing mean something about you if it's going to be negative, or destructive is probably a better word.
Yeah, because it can be negative, but, well, not negative, it can be constructive. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, what I was just thinking as you were talking about that, Meg, is, like, I normally, and I know you're the same, will look at people achieving more than I am or where I want to be in the future. And I'm like, that is evidence that I can do it too. Rebecca's a good example of, like, really powerful woman in business with lots of property, a thriving family, an all white house, pets, and all of the things. And I'm like,
that is evidence that I can do that too. And I think that it's important to identify, like, how are you, yeah, what are you making it mean, and is it constructive or not? And I think it's also important to remember, like, what you see on social media, and we've got some stats to share about this, but with business, everything takes 10 times longer than what you expect, and 10 times longer than what you see on social media. So when someone launches something, it's looks like they've just popped it up overnight, and usually it has taken them 12 months, 18 months, three, like however long, whatever the product or service is, there has usually been so much work put in behind the scenes to get them to the point of sharing it publicly and launching it. So I actually had to remind, well, Meg and I like discussed it the other day, and I had to be reminded of the fact that all this work that I'm doing is that process. And then I'm going to launch something and people are going to go, oh my God, she's so amazing, she just launched this thing. But I'm like, well, actually I've been working on that for X, Y, Z amount of time.
And also the amount of things we've launched that have flopped.
Mm. Oh yeah, like, we try things all the time, and like I think people don't realize that like we fail per se as well. But we talk about this often, where like the amount of success you achieve is like equivalent to the amount of fails you're willing to go through as well. It's like, try something, if it doesn't work, move on, try something else, or pivot and adjust it.
In conclusion, you're on your own timeline. And for some more evidence, do you want to share the stats?
Yeah, so age means absolutely nothing in business, and timelines are irrelevant because we're all doing our own thing on our own journey. For example, Jeff Bezos founded Amazon at age 30. Ray Kroc founded McDonald's at age 56. Colonel Sanders, Meg, your mate, founded KFC at age 65. And Vera Wang started her clothing label at age 40. It's a blatant reminder that we're all on our own timeline, but it's also great evidence that these people did a million other things before they founded their most successful venture.
And actually, I just remembered something else that I said when we were on the phone, was us as people, and I know a lot of people relate to this, even when we achieve those things that we're like, I just want to fucking do them right now, there's going to be 101 more things that we're going to want to achieve. So it's also just remembering that it sounds so cliche, but it is so much about the journey rather than like getting to this destination.
Yeah. And I think like for me to remember the other day that I actually love this process was also a big turning point for like how I was feeling, because yeah, I actually really enjoy the process of building a business.
Talk Toby to me.